I have great pleasure in welcoming the Vice President of the Republic of Iraq, His Excellency Qudai Musa Al-Qusay. I invite him to address the General Assembly.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Mr. John Ash, President of the 68th Session of the General Assembly, Your Majesties and Highnesses, Your Excellencies, Heads of Delegations, God's peace and mercy and blessings be upon you. It gives me pleasure to join with you at the current session of the General Assembly to discuss a vital and important issue of post-2015 sustainable development. The achievements of its goals, we hope, will be available to all of us. Having overcome the serious consequences of the economic and social policies pursued by the former regime, which were not based on scientific grounds but on the regime's personal reckless whims, Iraq has sought to translate what was agreed by world leaders in 2000, notably the 8 development goals, into practical and concrete steps by adopting plans, strategies, and enacting laws, providing for the necessary messages and mechanisms. Iraq has endeavored to achieve the essence of sustainable development, namely the integration of its 3 dimensions, economic, environmental, and social. Iraq has been working at the level of financial and monetary policies to increase the financial flows to its public budget, which is expected to reach in 2015 approximately $150 billion, 40% of which are envisioned to be allocated to requisite investment expenditure with a view to providing basic services, improve infrastructure, and reinforce the role of the Iraqi economy. Iraq has achieved steady growth in the economic sector through its 2013 to 2017 development plan. However, oil is still the main engine for the rest of the sectors due to Iraq's abundant reserves of oil and gas, which surpass confirmed reserve estimates by a very large margin. Estimates put the potential of extractable oil reserves at 250 billion barrels and that of gas at more than 250 trillion cubic feet. We expect to double oil production by the end of the 2013-2017 development plan, with a steady increase in oil exports, which are expected to reach in 2015 approximately 3,750,000 barrels per day. Therefore, the 2010-2014 development plan focused on environmental sustainability and the green economy in Iraq. Strategic goals have been identified for the aforementioned plan and for the 2013-2017 National Development Plan, which has been recently approved by the Council of Ministers as follows. First, adopting a poverty alleviation strategy as one of the components of the for the attainment of sustainable development, where poverty rate fell from 23% in 2007 to 19% in 2012. It is hoped that it will further fall to 16% in 2017. Second, reducing unemployment rate from 15% in 2007 to 11% in 12, with a potential expected decline to 6% in 2017. Third, increasing the average per capita income from 3,000 in 2009 to nearly 6,000 in 2012, with an annual growth rate of 15.9%, clearly indicating noticeable economic progress. Fourth, reducing infant mortality to 18 deaths per 1,000 births in 2017. It is noteworthy that those figures fell from 32 in 2011 to 22 deaths in 2013. The plan also aims at the reduction of the under 5 years mortality rate to 24 deaths per 1,000 live births in 2017, following their decline from 37 in 2011 to 28 deaths in 2013. Fifth, raising primary school enrollment to 95 in 2017 from its 2012 figure of 92%. Sixth, increasing secondary school enrollment to 40% and that of university to 20% by 2017. Seventh, curbing desertification through the expansion of land reclamation, where approximately 4 million acres have been reclaimed. We are imbued with the hope of reclaiming 2.5 million additional acres by the end of the plan. Eighth, utilizing modern techniques in irrigation and increasing the latent energy of water resources by focusing on the economic exploitation thereof. Ninth, minimizing the quantities of burned gases associated with oil production by devising plans for full investment therein in 2015. Tenth, beginning the implementation of a housing program for the poor and low-income people, where 1 million housing units will be available by the end of the plan. 11th, achieving self-sufficiency in terms of electricity production, as it is envisioned to reach 22,000 megawatts in 2015, which means a 15% surplus over peak consumption, while the production of electricity in 2003 was around 2,500 megawatts. Ladies and gentlemen, we deem it necessary to emphasize in this session the following significant points. First, calling for strengthened international cooperation, particularly South-South cooperation, and we call upon the international community to fulfill its obligations with a view to achieving sustainable development. Second, facilitating the transfer of technology to developing countries with a view to reducing the gap between them and the developed world and to seriously contribute to solving problems caused by global warming and climate change. Third, addressing the problems emanating from water scarcity, which destabilized certain regions of the world, and stressing the need to determine the fair water quotas among riparian states on international rivers. Fourth, extending special support for people suffering from international conflicts and economic sanctions, which constitute significant obstacles to the attainment of sustainable development. Fifth, appropriately addressing pressures caused by unsustainable production and consumption patterns, particularly in the areas of deforestation, water scarcity, food waste, and elevated carbon emissions. Sixth, building effective and accountable institutions, promoting the rule of law, property rights, freedom of expression, and that of the media, in addition to the administration of justice and fighting corruption. Seventh, ensuring the post-2015 plan to be underpinned by a new spirit of solidarity, responsibility, and complementarity built on a common understanding of our humanity and on mutual respect through the involvement of more participants, poor, women groups, civil society, and local governments, in addition to academia and philanthropic institutions and charities. Eighth, advocating the need for governments to play a leading role in the field of education and the need to recognize that education is a shared responsibility between families, local communities, and civil society organizations, hence the universal contribution to the improvement and development of its ways and means. Ninth, including as one of the priorities or to achieve the objectives of sustainable development beyond 2015, the elimination of violence against women and gender equality in decent work and decision-making positions, as well as comprehensive economic and social security, in addition to international cooperation and integration in addressing the issues of sustainable development and fighting extreme poverty. Tenth, stressing the importance of existing standards in the field of human rights, the right to compensation for victims and redress in cases of human rights violations. 11th, we look forward to the completion of tasks by the working group that came out of Rio Plus 20 on financing for development, as well as to the creation of sound foundations in the domain of financing the goals of sustainable development and the post-2015 development agenda in a sustainable and predictable fashion. Here, I have to stress, ladies and gentlemen, that no pre- or post-2015 sustainable development is attainable with the existence of organized terrorism thriving on the bloodshed of innocent people as it claims their lives. This scourge has adopted extremism as its approach, death as its craft, violence as its means, hatred as its culture, and senseless and indiscriminate murder as its hobby. Such phenomenon calls for a strict and pragmatic stance by the entire world to face up to the brutal, ferocious, crazy, and aggravating assault through international cooperation that dry up financial, intellectual, and armament sources of terrorism with a view to saving humanity from this scourge and the universe from its effects, dangers, and harms. We wish also to confirm that no sustainable development can be achieved while the drums of war are beating in more than one place in the world, because the concepts of peace, development, and life cannot be upheld in conjunction with the will to bring about death, wars, and genocide. Nor could development be achieved in the absence of peace and security. Therefore, there will be no political stability or development without peaceful coexistence, security, and stability where human beings can rest, have shelter. Proceeding from the above, Iraq continues to call in its initiatives for a peaceful solution to each and every land where the smell of death, gunpowder, witness the scenes of destruction and bloodshed prevail, because the logic of force cannot produce peace, nor can a death instrument or a war mill bring about security or create development or growth. Hence, we in Iraq people of which suffered tremendously from the horrors of war caused by the recklessness and follies of the defunct Saddam regime, are deeply concerned by the worsening events and tense situation on our borders with Syria, a country with which we have over 600 kilometers long borders. This is why we consider the Syrian conflict a serious threat to our security, stability, and the integrity of our land and people. For this reason, we insist on putting forward our initiative to resolve the Syrian crisis peacefully, with a view to avoiding a devastating humanitarian disaster unfolding in our neighboring country and on our borders, which could undermine all aspects of development, stability, and prosperity that we and you aspire to achieve in our vitally important region. Therefore, I invite you, ladies and gentlemen, to support the Iraqi initiative in your endeavors to serve peace, security, and stability and prosperity. Otherwise, the region will forge ahead towards the unknown. Our region is beleaguered by concerns of regional and large-scale wars that may begin or triggered by a small spark. No one can guess the scope, trends, trajectories, or the time of such conflicts. In consequence, no sustainable development, stability, or prosperity can be hoped for in a region which is already fragile, explosive, and complex. This is the message of the government and people of Iraq to you, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. President, in the aftermath of the fall of the dictatorial regime, Iraq has resorted to democratic mechanisms as the sole means for the peaceful transfer of power. For we believe in the freedom, dignity, and rights of human beings. We have adopted a policy of open doors in our foreign relations with the whole world, and we are always looking for common denominators to overcome disagreements through positive dialogue based on justice and responsible involvement with neighboring countries, our region, and the world. We are strongly convinced that peaceful solutions are the most efficient means to settle all the current problems among peoples, nations, and governments. We reject violence, terrorism, and aggression, irrespective of its sources. We have launched a call for tolerance, national reconciliation, and cooperation with a view to attaining a communal coexistence, social peace, stability, and stability. This was adopted by the National Conference on Social Peace held recently in Baghdad and was signed with the code of honor by most of Iraq's leaders and national symbols. Ladies and gentlemen, Iraq has suffered for more than two decades from international sanctions because of the invasion of the state of sisterly Kuwait by the former regime. However, the new Iraq has managed, through its cooperation with the international community on the one hand and through the development of its brotherly relations with the neighboring state of Kuwait, to overcome the effects of the sanctions and work together with the UN Security Council in adopting UN Security Resolution 2000, 107 of 27 September 2013, which terminated Iraq's obligations under Chapter 7. Thus, the crises and problems suffered by the two brotherly countries of Iraq and Kuwait became part of the past. Today, we look forward together to build the present, to be a springboard and a solid foundation for a prosperous future for the generations that will reflect its positive effects on the entire region. Mr. President, our staunch faith in our brethren in humanity does not preclude us from taking the just side of the oppressed, the disadvantaged, and the vulnerable, nor does it prevent us from showing solidarity with the just causes of our Arab and Islamic nation, raising our voices in defense of their rights, humanity, and causes. Foremost among them are those of the Palestinian people who are still suffering from systematic oppression, continuous settlement activities that violate their rights and threaten their identity and existence, a situation that makes it incumbent on the world and its international institutions to assume their role and responsibilities and stand by a people who only demand the realization of their rights, freedom, justice, and the independence and establishment of a viable Palestinian state. In its absence, the Middle East region will remain prone to tension and instability. For the sake of a Middle East living in peace and security, we reiterate the call for the establishment of a Middle East free of nuclear weapons, emphasizing the need to hold the Helsinki Conference on the establishment of this region as soon as possible, because the failure of international efforts in this area will adversely affect the credibility of the MPT, which in turn could lead to an arms race and consequently increases the frequency of tension and instability. Ladies and gentlemen, whereas the United Nations is the framework we have agreed upon to be the forum for international cooperation to address the problems and challenges that we face through multilateral negotiations, we believe that the time has come to repair its bodies, foremost among which is the Security Council, being the cardinal organ responsible for the maintenance of international peace and security in order to be consistent with the aspirations of the peoples of the world in the 20th century, the 21st century, and more representative, transparent, and able to meet the challenges. In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to avail myself of this opportunity to express on behalf of the Iraqi people our sincere thanks and profound appreciation to all those who have contributed to helping Iraq to be lifted out of Chapter 7. We wish each and every nation all over the world a free, safe, and secure life with dignity and promising prosperous future. Peace be upon you.